rest of you, amen? If we do this together, we'll have a lot better results, amen? I'm looking, you know, these lights are bright. Does anybody don't know if they're bright? And I think I see some really good friends back there, but I'm not going to call you by the wrong name, but I'll find out after church if you're here. Just know how glad I am you're here. Now, first-time visitors, you thought I forgot, didn't you? First-time visitors, never been here before, our ushers are standing, raise your hand. All you have to do is raise your hand. Is that Diana? Oh, Jimmy? Oh, my goodness. Ruth, Jimmy, and Diana are right back there. You watch these two sing and lead Branson, two of the greatest voices. I'm so glad I didn't see you till now. I'd drug you up here, I'm telling you. Diana, I'm still calling you Diana. Diane was with the Presleys many years, and Jimmy, he had his own place, and Diana come and join him, and what a privilege to have you here. Praise God. Somebody go, yes, it is. I'm glad to have all of you here. Amen? Praise God, it's so good. We did get to see some old friends, and that was kind of fun. There at Mom's funeral, some of the old friends showed up, and boy, I'm telling you what, the Goodman Revival have got a touch still. Amen? How many enjoyed them when they were here? Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. That's not why I'm here, though, today. Title of my message this morning is simple, this. I have two titles, which isn't unusual. But the title, first title, is Praying for a King. Praying for a King. Now, I have to go all the way around the loop to get there, but I'm planning on doing it, okay? Within the next 3.5 hours, I'll get back to where I'm supposed to. Just make yourself comfortable. I have a little warning device. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's a wife of 49 years sitting right down here. And she'll look at me like, just that look. You know that look? Anybody know what that means? When you no movement, just that look. And I go, okay, I've drilled and I haven't struck oil, so it's time to quit boring, right? How you look, listen to this now, it'll tie together if you'll listen. How you look, what you believe, how you act out your life cannot become just the result of the influence of someone or something else. You've got to be you. Just look around. I took a minute when God was giving me his word. I started looking around and I saw every major baseball player wannabe wearing their jersey. There's Pujols, who's a great Christian. There's Wainwright, who's a great Christian. All these great men, Goldschmidt, great Christian. They're great examples. All these jerseys. I see fashions. Even in the church, I see trends. I remember one time going into a certain denomination to preach, and I was from another denomination, and I was invited there. When I walked in, I didn't have the right shoes on. I saw that right off the bat. You could kill cockroaches in a corner with theirs from 5 feet. Pointed, man. Mine weren't quite as pointed. I thought, well, they're going to see I'm not in the deal, because we identify with something. People wear clothes that identify you with something, but you don't ever want that to become you. There's a you in you that God wants to bring out, an individual in you that God wants to bring out. In the genius of creation, God created individuals, not clones. Who you are, listen to this, especially if you have a low, poor self-image of yourself. And not too many people will admit that, but certain situations will bring it out. Who you are is a compliment to God's personal attention and love to you. And you alone. You see, I believe that only in Jesus can anyone be who they really are. Look around. We live in a copycat world, a copycat culture. People look, act, and dress like someone or something they aspire to be. It's the highest insult to God's personal touch to you to live your life trying to be something you're not created to be. When God created the cosmos, now that's before the earth, that's before humanity. When God created the cosmos, He set everything in order. His creation is beyond our comprehension, but God's order was set when He created light, when He created the earth we're living on, when He created man and the animal kingdom. That's all done, and if John chapter 1 is correct, and I believe it is, amen. God says in John chapter 1 that the Word did the creating, and the Word's name is Jesus. He did all of these. He spoke everything into creation, into existence, and not only did He know your name, He knew your purpose. Now, I know this is hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend. I think we understand it, but we don't understand it. God, when He created in the very beginning, exploded the future into eternity, and every one of us was known by Him when the first star burst in light in the heavens and the darkness became light. He already knew everything about you. He knew about your purpose. That's right, you were part of God's original creation. Now, just try to put your faith out there a minute. I'm not preaching you something weird. I'm not preaching to you something that's not biblical. I'm trying to tell you that the omniscience, this word that we cannot grasp, all-knowing. All-knowing doesn't mean at the moment. It means all-knowing forward, backward, sideways, in every type of position you can imagine in relation to time. The omniscience of God created you with purpose. You're a part of God's original creation, just waiting for the time of your appearance. And here you are. He had a time for Paul. He had a time for Matthew. He had a time for Moses. I was driving one day and I said, God, I'm so glad that you didn't create me during Paul's time, because, man, that guy would have just worked me under. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Paul's really glad I didn't create him now, because he'd have a nervous breakdown because of people going on milliseconds in time. And his was in days or weeks in time. I created you for now. In time, you have a purpose from the Almighty God. I'm not trying to lead you in a chair or perk you up. I'm trying to tell you the absolute truth of the Word of God. Our God is so great that when we say creator, He's talking about the essence and the totality of creation, even to knowing this day and this service a million years before there was anything created. He knew today. It's comforting to know we have a God that's that great. Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes that would be known as Israel, just learned that Joseph was alive. Now, I'm going to bring you up to this in chapter 46 and 47. Brian, I'm going to skip through there, starting with 46. In chapter 46 and 47 of the book of Genesis, one of the sons born to Jacob, who became Israel by name, his son, the last two, was Benjamin and Joseph. Joseph was born in this house. He was gifted from God, and at the age of 17 years old, he had God given him sight and vision, insight. God had a plan and a purpose for his life. And I've heard people, preachers, many times say, Joseph just needed to learn to keep his mouth shut. No, he couldn't. He knew God had a purpose in his life, and he couldn't shut up. He told them the dreams. He told them the blessings that God had in store, and it enraged his other older brothers to the point that when his father sent Joseph out to check on them, they took him, and they were going to murder him, but Reuben stepped in and said, no, we'll sell him to the Ishmaelites, and we'll sell him. They'll take him to Egypt, and they'll sell him as a slave, and he'll disappear, and we'll kill a lamb, and put it on his coat that Dad had handmade for him, and we'll take the blood back and show Jacob that his beloved son Joseph was killed in a terrible accident, and we'll be free from this dreamer. I'm going to tell you something. Because you're a child of God, you're free to dream. Do you hear me? Because you're a child of God, you're free to dream. This morning when I was just got in my office, I received a phone call, and I talked to a friend of mine that's gone through a horrendous situation, persecution and failure and win and loss. And he's a great preacher in New York City, and we were talking, and I was trying to listen to that New York City accent of his, telling me God is so good. God's restoring this. God's changing this. This is what God has done. He's pastoring a great church. And you wonder why all that stuff that went from here to here, why did it happen? What purpose was it? I don't see any good in it. But God, in his own omniscient way, has a way of bringing you through life to get to the purpose he has for you. He molds you and makes you until you're supple in his hand, until you're moldable for him to use, and it takes life experiences to get us that way. Joseph learned that his father was still alive. He sent his brothers back. It was a drought going now. He'd gone at 17 years old. He was sold into slavery. The Ishmaelites took him. They sold him to Egypt. Potiphar, this captain of the host of Pharaoh's guard, took him into his house. His wife falsely accused Joseph of attempted rape because he spurned her sexual advances. He was put in prison. And think about this. This was no walk in the park. 22 years later, he's 39 years old. But in prison, God gives him a dream. He interprets this dream for Pharaoh. He's saying there's coming 7 very fat years, and we need to put get all the harvest you can, put up in harvest cities. Get the grain put up, and when we'll have enough to eat, we'll have enough extra that when the world starts starving, we can sell them our food for their land and for wealth, and Egypt will grow in value during a hard time, a drought. And Pharaoh saw the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit in him, because Joseph said, just find a guy to administrate it. He goes, who could be better than you? So he starts 7 years on that day of fatness, great wealth. At the end of 7 years to the moment, the famine started. Famines spread quick and fast. We're in a drought right now. It's supposed to be 104 without the heat factor Tuesday. 102 and 103. That means it's going to be 112 or 13 or 14. We're going to have record. No rain. It doesn't take long for famine to take over. But Joseph, by God's hand, was promoted now from in the pit to the palace. He was a prime minister, second only to Pharaoh, an unheard of position. For 22 years, he was away from his father. For 22 years, he was away from his home. He had nothing except one day his brothers came by orders of their father Joseph to buy grain from Egypt, because everybody was And Joseph recognized his brothers. There they were. Now, he was a 17-year-old punk when they put him in that pit. He's a 39-year-old emperor now. I'm going to tell you, if you think experience won't grow you, talk to Joseph. He recognized them. He, in his own wise way, got them to tell everything he needed to know about, is Jacob alive? Later to be called Israel. Later to find that nation right there that my father's side of the family all came from. That was all in the plan of God. Here they were in front of him. Finally, he called everyone to leave. They thought he was dead. They wrote him off. But God had a purpose. Listen, when someone thinks you're done and finished and dried up and tells you that, just say, well, that's fine except for one thing. Check with God and see if I fulfilled his purpose that he designed for me 10 billion years ago in his creative genius. He knew who I would be. He knew the experiences of life I would have, and he has a plan for me. Now, if I fulfill that plan, adios. I'm going to tell you something. Don't take this wrong. I love you. I love my wife and my children, but the day Jesus says go home, I'm going to lay this burden down, and I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to sing with a bunch of my family. Because we have a joy awaiting us. Amen? We have a power awaiting us, and on the way, God gives us strength. Israel, Jacob, hears that Joseph is alive. So they set up a meeting, chapter 46 and 47. That's your homework. I'll read excerpts. They set up a meeting, and Jacob goes to see Joseph. 22 years can change you. 22 years. Now 39 years old. But he came through a path that was necessary. It had been hard. There were sorrows, hardships, hurts, discouragements. But now for this very moment to see his father coming, it was worth it. Home again. Together. His brothers, his fathers, he'd forgiven them. They were in the process of accepting and repenting. And all it was God's purpose being fulfilled. Because if Jacob died, and if those 12 men died, they were the seed of Israel. They were the seed of Israel. You say there wouldn't have been another Israel? There would not have been another Israel, because God named Jacob Israel. And they saw the purpose. And there's one reason why that purpose took place. It's because Joseph, listen to me closely, Joseph never stopped being who he was. You listening? He never stopped being who he was. He was Joseph when he was 17. He was Joseph when he was 39. They tried to give him an Egyptian name, an Egyptian title. He learned the language, but he was still Joseph. When his brothers were in front of him and he could no longer stand it, he cleared his court. He looked at them and said, "It's me, Joseph." He took his crown off. He took his robe off and he stood in front of them, and they almost fainted in fear, thinking they were going to be put to death. He wasn't telling them because he had retribution. He's just saying, boys, nothing's changed. I'm still your little brother. I'm the same guy that you left out there, but if you hadn't left me, let me give you a little consolation. There wouldn't be me sitting on the throne and you sustained by the power of an almighty God that knows our tomorrows, and what you did and meant bad for me has turned out to be the greatest thing you could ever do for this nation. There is not one person listening to me today that's going through hard times and discouragement and disappointment, even from your own actions and from other situations that God isn't aware of, but God will take your life and fulfill His eternal purpose as long as you stay who you are. He never stopped being Him. He stayed true to who He was. From being sold into slavery, set up, imprisoned, forgotten, considered dead, even to promote and be revered as the prime minister of Egypt, He remained who He was. He found out that if we endure in life, nothing can stop the purpose of God in our life. The plan is to bring the clan back. So here they are. Somewhere between 70 and 75 people are in the family of those 11 sons of Jacob. Jacob's wife, Joseph's mother, was passed. And here come the patriarch, 70 to 75 family members on carts that Pharaoh sent to them. They were coming back with their cattle, and they were coming back with everything they had. And they get down the road, and Joseph goes out to meet his father for the first time in 22 years. And when Joseph sees his dad, whom he loved, they were so close. The Word of God says he didn't, if you study rabbinic history, let me take that back, he didn't come out in regalia. He came back like he left. He came back with a robe on. His attendants are going, man, we can't tell the dealers and the players here. The prime minister's dressed just like the rest of us. I want to tell you something. In the kingdom of God, we need to get back to you can't tell the dealers from the players, and we need some men of God that are more humble than they are proud of themselves, and we need some people that will get down in the dirt with you and love you and remember who they are and not forget that only one reason is different in their life, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's the same for you too. I did it for me, now I'm doing it for you. It's for you, not against you. Joseph met his daddy, and the Bible says he fell on him, and he began to weep. And I don't know if you know any Jewish traditions, but it said he cried for a long time. Now, let me just tell you something. That don't mean 5 minutes. There's no telling how long, 22 years. Unbelievable, my father. He wept and held on to Jacob and held on to Jacob. They cried until there was nothing there. There was nothing left to do except understand now that He put me right here for this purpose and to His glory. I'll thank Him now. It was worth it. So wherever you are on this trail right now, if you'll stay true to God, it will be worth it. Not just a little bit, but a lot, because He's decided for you a purpose in your life. So Joseph tells his father and his brothers, I want you to come here, I want you to live, and I want you to be part of this kingdom. I used to do that. My mother would be taken out and I'd say, somebody pray that she don't kill me. I've actually made that prayer request. God did not answer. She killed me. Joseph said to his father and his brothers, now come together. I'm going to introduce you to Pharaoh. That's a title. You're new here. He's one of the succession of pharaohs. It means king. Only in Egypt, there's a little bit different because a pharaoh here is believed to be a God-man. God in The flesh, isn't that ironic? The copycat of Satan. They believed that Pharaoh was a man that was born from the sun god Ra. And those pharaohs were deity. And so when he goes up to you, he's going to come in Egyptian tradition. And the one thing he's going to ask you is, what's your name? The second one, he's going to ask you, what's your value? What do? Who are you? And there's something else you need to understand, brothers and father. You are a shepherd. Our fathers were shepherds, and their fathers were shepherds. But in Egypt, Egyptians consider sheep and goats and lambs as unclean. As unclean as Jews do pigs' clothing hooves. So you understand that a shepherd ain't something good here. They despise shepherds. They look down on shepherds. It's a low category. They don't want to be associated with them. And so you have to understand that when he asks you what you do, you need to get like that church in the 21st century and start making excuses for your heritage and start trying to find a way that you can work yourself in to their approval. Try to find some way that they will see you in a light of acceptance. No, that's not what he said. Let me tell you what the scripture says. He said, when Jacob asked you, what do you do? He said, tell them this. Just a sentence. When Pharaoh asks you, tell him, I'm a shepherd. Wait now, son. You're prime minister. You're telling me they have absolute disdain, but you're saying, tell him what we really are? Tell him who I really am? Tell him what we've done for generations? Tell him that I'm the most despicable, disgusting thing that he can imagine. That's not going to do you any good politically. That's not going to do us any good politically. That's not going to cause him to ingratiate himself into our lives, and we're not going to be, oh man, this is Joseph's family. We're going to be a class of shepherds at the bottom of the run. Joseph said, let me tell you something, my family, father, and brothers. For 22 years I've been in this nation. I came in at 17 years old, sold into slavery. I was accused of a sexual act I didn't do. I was put in prison several years in prison, and that wasn't fun. After so many years of all the things that had happened, God gave me the interpretation of a dream that preserved the nation of Egypt, and God miraculously brought me out of prison and put me in the second command of this entire nation. It was the greatest nation on earth at the time. The most intellect, the studied, scientific, and all these things. I'm over the whole shooting match. Pharaoh just sets and sails and lets me get them through this. But I'm going to tell you this, in all of that, I never stopped being who I was. Never one time did I stop being who I was. And when he asked you who you are, I want you to understand this. You tell him, I am a shepherd. Hold on. Subtitle. This is a tough one. Be who you are. God created you just like you are. He created you with purpose. He created you with a plan of God, whether you believe it or not. Some people will go through life and clone themselves to be like everything around them. They'll copy whatever's hot and neat and acceptable in the world. You'll have pressure put on you to be like Egypt, kids, to be like the world. Us grown-ups don't have that. You'll have pressure. Religious services will tell you this is the hottest thing going. It may be hot, but if it's not the Holy Spirit leading a church, it's not. Numbers cannot affect you. The only thing that can affect your life is staying true to who you are. Joseph was learning who he was over the years. God didn't wake you up in the morning and say, this is who you are. I remember one time having an associate pastor came to me and quit the church. Not this church, not this building. And he said, I've got to leave because you're holding me back. And I went, what? He said, well, because I'm supposed to be the next Billy Graham. I went, y'all tell Billy, because he don't know he's Billy Graham like you know it. You're chasing an image. You're going to be like something. What about being who you are and seeing what God has for you and the purpose of, and he went right back to the basis of what he is. I am a shepherd. One of the most powerful words in the Old Testament comes to effect then. Listen to this in chapter 47, verse 7. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. Now look at the last three words. After the four, after Jacob blessed Pharaoh. When I read this, I about fell over. Nobody blessed Pharaoh. He's God in the flesh. There's no God higher than Ra, and he's the son of Ra. No one comes in Pharaoh's presence and says, bow down, I'm going to bless you. Pharaoh holds the strings of power to the world. But the Bible says that after Jacob blessed Pharaoh, then Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? Verse 8. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, my years of pilgrimage are 130. My years have been filled, my years have been few and difficult. And they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Here's what he was saying. And I researched this so I can give you a qualified answer. He's saying life's been okay. Life's at times it's been really hard. But I'm not married to this life. I'm a pilgrim on my way to a foreign country. I'm on my way to a city called Mount Zion. I'm on my way to a place called the New Jerusalem. I'm on my way to a heaven that God, before the creation of mankind, created and put my name on a place for me to be there. And I'm just a pilgrim going through this land. He said, he was about 131 then. They do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Verse 10. Look at this. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. You know what happened? Jacob came in by instructions of Joseph. He said, I've worked too hard over the years being who I am and not compromising with the world for you all to come in here and try to accent yourself or to appreciate yourself as an Egyptian or condone their ways. Just listen to me. I never change being who I am. And when you come in here, you are a shepherd. You tell them I'm a shepherd. Don't change that. And Pharaoh stood, and some of you are looking at me today like, well, I don't sing, I don't preach, I tell you who are. You are God's creation with purpose. I can't I promise you, this isn't a romper room, a cheerleading clinic. It is an absolute fact that if somebody can grab a hold of this, knowing all your flaws and faults and ups and downs and ins and outs, and know that God loves you so much that that has not thwarted the presence and the purpose of God in your life, you're going to go to a destiny that God intends for you to be. He blessed him. That means Pharaoh bowed down before Jacob. He blessed him. That means that the king came in front of a shepherd, and there was such a presence of God in Jacob's life because Jacob in his body had the seed of Israel. There were 12 sons born. 11 of them would have one that would come, and then another and would come, and they were named tribes. Joseph had a wife that was Egyptian by the name of Asenath. They had 2 sons. Jacob blessed them, and thus the tribes, split tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim of the 12 tribes. There was a destiny God had, and it had nothing to do with wins or losses or your human nature or your sinful past or your, it has to do with staying with who you are. Get out of the copycat culture. That day, the son of Ra bowed to the son of God, Jesus. That day started a 400-year destiny for the nation of Israel to go to Goshen to raise their crops and to grow, only to be exited into a place called Canaan. That place in Canaan, with battles and all the hardships, was there to God, for God to give the law through Moses, for us to have a guideline until the sun arrived. And in the presence of time, and that's all, you are not a reproductive fact. There's not a person in here that was planned or an accident. You're part of God's omniscience. He knew you. And he's so important that you understand that you stay who you are. I remember I was trying to figure out who I was when I was younger. And someone asked me, and I sounded like a I did. Finally, I just tore up the paper. Who was here the night that day I started to preach and the enemy tried to stop me and I threw these all over the platform? Anybody? It's one of the best messages I've ever preached. Threw the notes away. I'd say, well, I'm associated with, finally one day the Lord said, who are you? Well, I know and you know, but we don't want that to get out too far. And he goes, no, who are you in me? If they ask me now, I say I'm a Pentecostal preacher. That's all. I'm not Pentecostal by organization. I'm not Pentecostal to be in the club. I'm Pentecostal by experience. And I'm Pentecostal by the fact that there's no baloney or monkey business in that personal, intimate relationship with God. It is an infilling that's true and authentic and powerful. And it changed my life and directed me. But I'm just who I am, nothing more, nothing else. That's me. And then I turn it over to the Holy Spirit to touch those people and let them want to be like Jesus instead of us be like them. You have such an incredible opportunity in this life that you're living to be who you are in Jesus. You're not here by accident. Stay true to who you are. God cannot use an imposter. He won't use a counterfeit. Or he won't use a clone. He gave too much, far too much, and planned you for his purpose to be who you are. Are you interested to see what God's purpose is for your life? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
If you're online watching this morning, this message is as for you as anyone here. In Pakistan or in America or in this community, you have a God-given purpose. Stand to your feet with me.